Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It's our privilege today to welcome Steve Criss, Executive Director of Franconia Mennonite Conference. I got to know Steve back in the 1990s when I was a pastor at Blau Mennonite Church near Johnstown toward the end of my time there. Steve was an associate pastor at a neighboring Mennonite church, Carpenter's Park Mennonite Church, and so got to know him then. We worked together a little bit on getting a service adventure unit started in Johnstown. But then I moved east, and sometime after that, Steve moved east and eventually found his way to the Philadelphia area where he currently lives. And Steve is now the executive director of Franconia Mennonite Conference. And as many of you are aware, our congregation has been exploring a relationship with Franconia Conference in addition to our relationship with Lancaster Mennonite Conference. And so we're delighted that Steve can come and share with us this morning and then also get to know us as a congregation a little better as well. So Steve, I welcome you to come and share the message that God has laid on your heart this morning. May God bless you.
It's my privilege to be with you this morning. Just checking the sound, guys, making sure. One of the ways you get to know congregations is how the AV team behaves. So I'm watching them out, and they're sending a lot of warnings already. So I'm learning a little bit about you. It's a real privilege to be here with you this morning and to, in some more formal ways, begin the process of befriending across conference lines between Franconia Conference and Lancaster Conference and with you here at Slate Hill. One of the things that working in Mennonite settings and working in settings even more broadly than that is that we recognize God uses all sorts of relationships in new ways if we continue to allow that to happen. And so as I was watching Rich this morning, my images of Rich actually mostly come from cleaning out a dilapidated house in really hot weather in a time period that we were supposed to have about 2 or 3 months, but was actually crunched into maybe 10 days. So Rich, the image that I have of you is drenched in sweat and still smiling, but being pretty quiet because a lot of the words that we would have had at that point weren't very pleasant. It meant that we had 6 young adults who had to sleep in the basement of the church while we tried to figure out how to deal with this house that also, I've learned later, includes rats the size of raccoons on occasion. Fortunately, we did not encounter those. Maybe that was because there was so much stuff we never encountered them. But I want to bring you greetings today from my last preaching engagement, which I try to do every time I work between congregations. And so last Sunday, Sunday evening, I was with one of Franconia Conference's newest member congregations, Indonesian Christian Community Church, located in Colton, California, actually, which is next to San Bernardino. And one of the things that happened there during my sermon, not to give anyone any ideas here, but this was the first time this has ever happened when I was preaching, someone about in front of the guy who just took a drink. Whoever, you can just raise your... Someone about right there, about partway into my sermon, asked if I could change languages. They interrupted, raised his hand, and said, "Can you just preach in Indonesian now? I've never had that happen before. No, I cannot preach in Indonesian. I recognize that everyone else in the room can probably speak Indonesian, but I can't." So one of the great things about being there was someone had to help solve that problem for me. And that's, to me, was like this really great demonstration of what the body of Christ means. This was an older couple who they later apologized to me. They said, "You used a couple Indonesian words, so we thought you had more." I learned quickly, don't trick people out. So one of the things that happened is a young woman came and sat between this couple and translated my words into their ears the rest of the sermon. And after the sermon, the guy came up to me and apologized, and he said, "You speak really fast in English." He said, "I'm good. My wife couldn't understand a thing you were saying." So it's a really good example of what it means to be in it together, to be using all of the fullness of the gifts that we have, and to recognize that there are many gifts that exist within us as a community. I wanted to give you just a little bit of an introduction that will help you understand me a little bit and also give a glimpse of Franconia Conference into three places where I would say I have developed a better or deeper understanding of what it means to be the body of Christ. The first is I want to take you with me to Laurelville Retreat Center. How many of you have been to Laurelville? I thought you were a high percentage Laurelville congregation. My family joined, I started attending Mennonite Church when I was in junior high. And one of my first questions to my parents when we decided to do this was, "Why can't we just go somewhere normal?" And normal to me meant Methodists or something. So part of my experience of being immersed in Mennonite culture was starting to do some things that Mennonites did, and which included snow camp. And I'm an only kid, and one of the things that only kids need is time away from other people. So if you don't know anything about me, I like people a lot, but I also need to get away from you all. And so one of the things that happens at snow camp, any kind of camp, is you're with people a lot. And I think there were 8 high school age dudes in my room at Laurelville. It was Saturday afternoon. I'd already had enough of all of them. And really enough of the Mennonites for the day. And so I was trying to figure out, how do I graciously escape them for 15 minutes and be by myself and just take a walk? And this really, really great thing happened. It's the 80s. So one of the contraband items at camp actually showed up in our room. Contraband in the 80s, what might that be? It was a Sony Walkman with a headset. I did not bring that. A dyed-in-the-wool, long-term Mennonite guy did. And I think he recognized something was going on for me, and he said, "Do I use my Walkman for a bit?" "Uh-huh. Yes, I want to use your Walkman, and I want to take a walk." So for 15 minutes to a half an hour, I grabbed this contraband Walkman from Doug Thomas, who goes to the meeting house now in Carlisle, and took a walk and listened to Heart, because it was the 80s. If you don't know that, you're really missing out. But one of the things that was really inclusive for me as a high school kid at that time was having someone else who was part of my faith community, who did bring contraband to an event, but was willing to share it with me for the first time. Shared something that he had, noticed something that it seemed like I needed. And I will tell you, it was one of the first times I felt like I belonged. I learned just a little bit from Doug that day. Doug would drive me to school. This wasn't like our first time of being hanging out together. But it was paying attention to something that I needed and giving it. So I don't know what that looks like today for high school kids or junior high. But to think about that, even that early stage, we start to pay attention about what it means to be one. What it means to care deeply, and what it means to share what we have. Because you're a Slovak dude and you haven't come to our church very long, I'm not going to give you the Walkman. Wasn't uttered from his mouth. My second time, my story is coming from Catholic background, which included, as my family joined the Mennonite Church, slight excommunication from my Catholic relatives. I've just started to be able to talk about this, so I can't say a lot about it because it's a whole other sermon. But I will tell you that involved a lot of pain and a lot of agitation for me about Catholicism. So as part of my graduate program, I got a chance at a Catholic university to finish my program in intercultural studies. They said, "Do you want to go teach in Rome?" Yeah, I want to go teach somewhere else, but no, not Rome. I wasn't super thrilled about that location. And to find out that our particular location was also under special care of the priests who care for the Pope. That's fine. I'll just deal with this. It's Rome. I'm not in Pittsburgh for the winter. That will be compensation. And it's Italy. How bad can this be? The food will be good. One of the things that happened to me in Rome was the recognition of how much the story of Catholicism meant that I actually followed Jesus. There's a church called St. John Lateran that is the center of Western Christianity. And whether I felt comfortable with it or not, the faith of my grandparents and the faith of most of our grandparents comes through that place. And so I had to come to terms with that being Mennonite only is a 500-year history, and there's 1,500 other years in between. It may or may not have been lived in the way that I would have thought would be perfect, but there was 1,500 years of people trying to figure it out, whether I was comfortable with it or not. I had a friend who grew up Southern Baptist, and she came with her husband to visit me in Rome. And we were attending Mass, and we'd been there long enough that I could translate Mass for her, both from the combo of Latin and Italian, and I'm whispering in her ear, next to her, just like happened the other Sunday. I am trying my best to translate the words to her, the readings of the Gospels, the readings of the texts that come from the flow of the Mass. We're in this massive building, and she breaks down in tears. She cried through the rest of the service. And ask a lot of questions then. But when we stepped outside, she said, "I've always been taught they don't believe the Bible. They don't read the text, and every word that you were saying to me was from the text. How could I have assumed that this part of Christian faith was not part of me? Even though it's very different, how did I grow up with this sense of mistrust and dislike and almost hatred? Wow. That's not only a story of Southern Baptists. I'll tell you, Catholics sometimes think that about us too. So it was a really transforming moment for me, translating the words and feeling her change. The third place I want to take you is to South Philadelphia, which is the church that I regularly attend, or irregularly attend, probably is a better word for it. But it's the church I call my home church, and I'm preaching often out, but it's the place that I try to stay connected with and to stay centered. And the church at this point is about 90% Indonesian, mostly folks who traveled to the United States to seek refuge after a huge economic collapse in the fourth most populous country in the world, also the country with the most Muslims. And in many places, persons who were religious and ethnic minorities were accused of somehow conspiring and being part of the economic collapse. So 12,000 of them fled, mostly illegally, to Philadelphia. Philadelphia was the gateway. We don't know why. There was relatively cheap housing, and there was relatively good access between New York and Washington and being able to get into the country before September 11th. I attend this congregation now made up of people who sought asylum, who sought peace, and who found out that they were kind of Mennonites. Some of them were Mennonites in Indonesia and others were not. And the church formed without any kind of assistance from the Mennonites, just with an invitation, sort of a hint. Hey, we think there's some Mennonite people gathering in South Philly. There's lots of Indonesian Mennonites, but we think some of them got themselves here. And they did. And they wanted to connect with the church in the States. And my first assignment 12 years ago had a small tag on my job description. It was a verbal. It wasn't even a really job description thing. It was like, hey, figure out what's going on with the Indonesian immigrants in South Philly, which is like a full-time job. So in this community, I am regularly faced with lots of questions that challenge me, that make me have to rethink my own situatedness, that invite me to imagine what it means to be deeply connected with people who still don't have paperwork to work legally. Some of whom trusted the U.S. government in the process of registering, only to have that registration used against them later to be sent home. I've been in a room where a government authority apologized for that because they wanted folks from our Indonesian community in South Philly said, we think we need a white person here to hear this. This is a deep challenge for me on a regular basis. Some of my closest friends in the congregation are still struggling with the DACA process and what the deferred action plan might be that actually technically was supposed to expire this week. Having grown up in Philadelphia, some of them with Philadelphia accents, which kind of make me laugh. This is the challenge of what it means to be part of the body. To be uncomfortable sometimes in the very communities that we are a part of close by, in the recognition of how global trauma affects us across borders, even when the borders are closed. I am regularly unsettled. Part of what it means for me as a leader in a historic Mennonite community, I just was reading this week, and it sometimes still makes me feel a little bit crazy. Just a reminder, Franconia Conference likes to say it's older than Lancaster. They're the two eldest siblings in the hemisphere, so there's that kind of jostling. But to think about what it means to lead and to try to speak on behalf of where we're at and the complicated questions of recognizing the diversity of who we are and who we've been created to be. I was just in a meeting with some of our pastors in Allentown yesterday, and something happened in that meeting, and I'm just going to say this to you. That one of the pastors, it's a diverse pastoral team, 3 white folks, 1 African-American person, a woman, and a Latino guy. An African-American woman said something to the congregation that no one else could say. And it was kind of funny. But there are times when who we have been created to be and our life experiences allow us to speak and to hear in ways that are different. And the challenge for many of us is to be able to listen to those persons who hear and see differently from us. This message of we are the body continues to challenge me, continues to make me. I wanted to ask Paul, why could you not think of something else? Isn't there a better way to describe us? But we have this, and we have it twice. It shows back up in Ephesians again, and one of the interesting things to me is it echoes one other significant act. Jesus' words. Take and eat. This is my body. Paul chooses these words strategically. You are the body. This should both inspire us and make us uncomfortable. It might make us ask, am I an elbow or an appendix? What is my unique possibility in being part of the body of Christ? And what possibilities does that represent? So there are 2 things that I think about related to this text that I want to get to some real practical pieces. And so I know the text itself does not lend itself to that, but I want to ask, just invite you to think about 2 things. The first is, if I am part of the body, how am I taking care of that unique gift that God has given? So we know that we do lots of things to maintain our body, sometimes well and sometimes not so well during the week. Yoga, gym, running. There's so many things. And it costs money, usually. Eating well. Going to the doctor. Getting your nails done. Your haircut. We spend a lot of time investing, for many of us, in taking care of our body. And I want to just invite you to think about, how is it that I care for that unique gift that God has given me? And how do I use it? And so the challenge with that then is knowing what it is. And what I wonder then, if the responsibility of the body isn't to help us name those gifts and to give us an opportunity to flex them. And not only to give us easy opportunities to develop them, because we know that if it's muscular, we need some challenge so that the muscle can develop and strengthen. Also, sometimes to stretch, so that we can be more flexible in our responses. So the second piece of that, I just wonder if part of our task of being the body isn't helping other people name their part. Whether that person is younger or older, and we know that at different places and different times in our lives, those things become different. The gifts that we offer can change. But that's not just an invitation to say, hey, can you fill this Sunday school slot, right? Like, that's not always helpful. It is helpful to get the Sunday school slots filled. But to be able to name the unique gifts that you see in each other and to be able to affirm them helps the whole of the body operate with strength and to give people opportunity to use them and to encourage gently, invitationally, in a way that extends grace, so that the fullness of us, all of us together, might flourish. Hey, I think you're a really great elbow. You help make sure stuff gets done. Without you, the hand is not super functional. Hey, I see that gift that you are offering, and I wonder if there's more space for for it. Those are the unique possibilities that we have when we exist in community together. And you at Slate Hill are not large enough to not speak them to one another. I want to invite you and to provoke you to continue to be a place where the gifts of God, given in each part of the body, might be used. To think of the unique possibilities that each of you have, and also the unique responsibilities. The time around us is tumultuous. Almost everyone has said it, but it is also today true. It requires us to do things that we may not have been quite as intentional about before. We need all the gifts. The words of the text say that we have them. May you have the grace enough to extend to one another that the gifts might flourish. From Teresa of Avila, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which Christ looks compassionately on the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which Christ blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You, all of you, are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which Christ looks compassionately on the world. Christ has no body now on earth but us. Amen.